Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to the Extra Hour. Of course, joining me in the Extra Hour is Pat and John. We were just exploring, want to continue to talk about, like, trying to figure out how to expand our minds. Expand our minds, grow our minds, because we need a better working mind, right?
No doubt. I do.
I can't remember. Do I need to? I saw this keys on my desk. All these keys on my desk, and I'm like, those are not my keys. I wonder whose keys those are. Because they're right. And the reason why I knew this, because there was another set of keys beside those keys that were my keys, so I was able to compare the two. Now, if I just would have saw those keys, I'd be like, well, those are my keys. And so I'm just really concerned. I'm thinking, I must have picked up somebody's keys in that last meeting. I'm thinking, man, they're probably stranded somewhere. And I think, well, I'm going to have to get them keys. I'm thinking, but, you know, it's pretty late. So I was saying, oh, I'm hoping these, I'm sure these keys. And so I'm actually taking pictures of the keys. I sent them. Are these your keys? Are you stuck somewhere? Are these your keys?
You're not able to get in your house.
And finally, you know, I talked to Pat, and he goes, well, did you ever think they might be your wife's keys? I'm like, is this the kind of car she's
got? Wow.
You know, hey, you know, God uses things that are not the null of things that are. I got a lot on my one brain cell. And so, of course, to verify this, I go to the doctor. I said, do you have your keys? And she says, they were over there. Well, they're not here. Where are my keys at? And I said, well, I probably have your keys. But then she goes back in my office and she's looking for the keys because I had to go somewhere else. And so she's going, well, they're not there. And I'm like, well, that's where they were. She says, where are they? You're playing games. I'm like, I'm not playing games. I'm thinking to myself, I don't have a clue. I'm thinking if I just took a picture of the keys on my desk and sent them, obviously they have to be on my desk. And what I did was I actually threw them in a briefcase because I was going to take them the next day. It was just hilarious. So we're talking about the ability to expand our minds. You expand our minds, you know. I don't know if you've ever just forgot simple things. You can remember calculus, but you can't remember where the calculator's at.
Right.
You know, or how to open a particular app. I mean, how many, think about this. There was a day people struggle with their phone numbers. Now we have like 15,000 passwords and usernames. And somehow, we miraculously are able to log into some. Isn't that amazing? It's like, how is this going to happen? At the same time, I mean, I think what it is that there's a whole bunch of just whatever that's hitting our minds, taking up a lot of our hard drive in our minds. That's just wasting a lot of our space. This is what it says about. About memory and information, that today, in 1 year, I believe it's 1 year, no, one day of information that passes through your life is more information than passed through your great grandfather's life in his entire lifetime. In his lifetime. And the thing is that our brains didn't grow. And, you know, I mean, we still got the same. You know, you inherited his DNA, by the way, if you don't know this. And it's like the increase of information. So we got to learn, you know, wisdom, how to manage that. But how, you know, how can you expand your mind? Use it. Think about it. And when you begin to, I just love thinkers. I love people who think and who ask questions. And a lot of people don't want you to ask them questions. And they get offended because you're asking them a question because they think you're questioning them. But really, you're just trying to find out, what are you talking about?
Right.
And I want to know, Jesus asked questions.
All the time.
Yeah, and you can ask questions and just answer those questions. The scary thing is, though, when people ask you questions, you find out that sometimes what you're saying is not based on anything. Or it's based on what you heard somebody else say.
Right.
And it's okay to figure that out, because then you can say, well, I need to do some more research. I need to think this thing through. And those people, I'm learning now at this age about American history that I didn't learn early on. And the cool thing is that I'm learning and retaining that and some of it, at least two things about it. But God begins, if you're willing to push and use your brain, And that doesn't mean just sit there in front of some electronic game that, you know, your finger moves back and forth, or sit in front of a computer. Believe it or not, a computer does so much stuff for us that it doesn't stimulate, I don't think, a lot of brain growth. And media, television, movies, and all that kind of stuff, they say if you actually put monitors on people's brains during those times, and like nothing happens. It's like you're asleep.
Well, that's like why you're saying down. A big push right now in education for critical thinking classes, even at a young age. Children in elementary school taking critical thinking classes, and they have a critical thinking class in college. All these electronics, people are not actually using their brain to actually think things out. Like, where does that go? Well, think about it. Think about where that belongs.
As a church, we would actually handle things a lot better if we just thought about what we were doing. Mm. You know, really think about this.
That's right.
When God will remind you of, oh, yeah, that's, oh, yeah. That's, oh, yeah. I remember what he saved me from. And, I think about the classes in Harvard, you know, when they're, and you can see these, I love these classes. If I had more time, I would actually watch these conversations that they're having, and I'd love to be in them. But the best way to teach, you know, business is to throw out a business scenario and then begin to discuss it amongst people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, the church today, a lot of the believers just sit there and have somebody just talk at them, but they never have a conversation about what they just heard. And the huge assumption is that everybody understood you and everybody got it. But you can look and see that was a wrong assumption.
Yeah.
Because if you go back and interview everybody like 7 days later about what this very important thing you just taught, you're going to find out most of them, Satan came right away and stole it from them. And other ones were excited about it and received it with great joy.
Mm-hmm.
But something hard happened in their life that week and scorched out the seed that you planted in the heart. And then you're going to find somebody else. Then you're going to find somebody else that they received what you said, but there wasn't a balance in the context of they let the cares of their life and things that they had to do choke it out. And you only have a few of those people who actually applied it to their life. You're not going to know that if, in fact, you don't have a conversation with them.
Mm-hmm.
Does it make sense? You got to have a conversation with them. And we're finding that out. What we do is, you know, we obviously, you know, we teach and then talk.
Mm-hmm.
Teach and talk. And it's amazing how the conversation begins and how it ends up. It's like we kind of all end up on the same page with the word. We're able to do that. But if you've never talked about what you just heard, there's a huge assumption there that everybody is getting it. And everybody doesn't learn the same way. Everybody doesn't learn the same way. I mean, it's harder for me and Pat.
A lot harder.
A lot harder. You know, we have to read it really slow and easy. So why are you reading so slow? Because we got to think about what we're reading. We have children that will be involved in one of our gatherings and read something so fast. We're like, slow down for the adults. Of course, they're not actually probably even getting what they're just like cranking off vocabulary. Some of them. And I hope. But, And so you think about this. I mean, I want you to stretch your mind for a moment. Because we're in such a blessed nation presently in America, we haven't had to face a lot of questions that other nations, the other 95% of the world had to face. I mean, we have this pet answers for everything. These little cookie cutters. Cookie cutters are like the piece of shaped metal that you press into dough. And everything's shaped the same way. That's so unrealistic. That's somebody who's never thought. You never realize that's not, and that happens is we start putting the gospel, the message of God, in some cookie cutter format, and it's not going to work because God's for everyone, and He wants every man to know Him, and He loves them and forgive them, but they have to, you know, connect to God. If you hit them upside the head with an American gospel cookie cutter, this is not going to make sense to them.
Mm-hmm.
Example: a missionary is in India, and he's preaching the gospel, and a man he meets in the marketplace, they begin to have tea, and they're talking, and he leads them to the Lord, and they're so excited. I mean, he found the Lord, and he said, God just forgave him. He could just feel this huge burden off of him. He's just floating, you know, I mean, just like we are. You can feel that burden lifted off of you. By the way, if you had that burden, God can lift that burden from you. So this awesome encounter. And everybody goes, well, I get that. And he goes, oh, this is exciting. And so he says, well, come back here tomorrow in the coffee shop or the tea shop. And let's continue. I want to disciple you and tell you about Jesus. And so they meet for about 90 days, coming back and forth. And he's just growing in God. You can see he's growing in God. You can see the fruit in his life. And it's just this awesome thing. And he's talking about, you know, I want to tell other people about the Lord. I want people to know about him. It's like, so it's just wonderful. This is so good. And he said, you know, I don't know what to do with this, but I was reading the Word of God about, you know, that a man should have one wife. And I got 10 wives. I got 10 wives.
Yeah.
The American gospel does not even fit to that.
Mm-mm.
I mean, you got to throw your cookie cutter out, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
The man's saved. He gave his life to God. He had 10. He was married. He's married at the same time. I mean, we're not talking about all this religious stuff about it. I mean, he's got 10 women in his home that he is the husband to. And that was his reality when he found God. Mm. Look at that. You're out my box. Now I'm thinking. Well, you need to think like this because God meets people where they are. He saves people where they are. And then it's a transition as God, as we behold him, then we become transformed more and more in his image. We don't all of a sudden, you know, everything's not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But not only does he have 10 wives, he says, I have 26 children. I have 26 children and I'm their father and these are their mothers. You know, we've been together, you know, obviously one for 26 years and other ones, you know, over this period of time, you know, what do?
Mm-hmm.
John?
Pray.
That's the American answer, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing is that since God saved him and he's beginning to see this is the next, you know, God reveals things more and more in our lives, and you think you know everything until you know the next thing. You find out you knew nothing, and then you find out I need to humble myself because, you know, God's ever revealing, and he's very merciful, and he knows who we are when we're saved. And so, you know, are you going to go in there religiously and say, well, okay, who was the first one that you were married to? Send the other 9 away and somehow, you know, start an orphanage for you. I mean, come on.
Right.
And, you know, and it's been too easy for America. It's been too easy. We have not had to think and realize, well, wait a minute. God's big enough for this. We can get through this. God's going to lead us every step of the way. So the first thing you would do is we need to preach the gospel to your family.
Hmm.
The first ministry, because he's wanting to minister, right?
Mm-hmm.
We need to preach the gospel because if everybody finds Jesus, Jesus and them can begin to work this out. He could begin to work this out, right?
Right.
And then you go and you begin to preach the gospel. I mean, there's many different ways, but this is one way. You say, okay, this is what we're going to think outside the box. So just go back and preach. The first message we're going to preach is the gospel to your huge family. All 26 kids are just like, yes, yes, this is beautiful. I could tell the difference in your life, Dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I want the same Jesus. And now you have 26 saved children.
Wow.
26 saved children. I mean, not only are you throwing your cookie cutters out in America right now, you're actually melting the metal down and saying, get rid of that because now I'm like Peter at Cornelius' house. Everybody's getting saved. Didn't know this was possible.
That's right.
You know, I'm going to have to report this to the council here because this is a new thing happening to us.
Right.
And, you know, 5 of the wives gave their life to the Lord. And not only are they his wife, but now they're his sister in the Lord.
Mm.
This is to be celebrated. This is like people are getting saved. God dwells with them. They know the Lord.
Mm.
I mean, think about it. You've got to think outside the box because We got so many scenarios that were not even reality scenarios that were blocking people out who need the gospel. They need the gospel, but you prejudge them and you don't even consider that probability in the context of that and says, just minister the gospel and let God work it out. And what's going to happen is, since God is with the ones who are saved, he's going to begin to convict them. And he's going to begin to say, this is what needs to happen here. This is what needs to happen out there. This happens here. This, you know, live as not married until God begins to work this thing out. I mean, you can still live as not married and mm-hmm. still be godly and just begin to walk before the Lord. Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not over. It's time to be celebrated. 26 kids got saved. The father got saved. 5 of the wives got saved. I mean, these other 5, it's like they're surrounded by good fruit and love and all these things that are taking place. And it's like, you know, this thing can be worked out. But how many, if you took the text, I don't know what word they use right now when they're talking in Congress and they have these committees, but they scrub the information. I mean, you pull out all the fluff and just have the text of what's being taught in America, that doesn't fit. That doesn't fit. But the reality is they do fit in the kingdom. And if that's how you found me
mm-hmm.
and God accepted me and he's willing to walk me on this journey, then
that's right.
You need to cooperate with God. I mean, here's another situation, just helping you think outside the box. You have two ladies that were not walking with God. They felt like they fell in love with each other. They got married in one of the states they could be married. They adopted 3 children, you know, and in the midst of all that, the same scenario happened. They have 3 children that call them mom, and they just got saved.
Hmm.
They gave their life to God. And then when you get saved, you start realizing all the things in your life, not just some things, but all the things in your life. And you begin to make different changes.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to, the same situation, you got to say, God, you know, lead us through this. What do you want us to do first? What is you say? You don't just go in there with a grenade and just blow that up. Like right. The man with his 26 children and 10 wives, you wouldn't blow that up. You know, you're not God. You got to, God, if God has saved them and loves them and they love God, God's going to work this thing out.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me think about when you got saved.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of similar, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, though you and now your wife, but not mm-hmm. wife then,
right.
That you didn't need somebody to come in there and boss you around and tell you what's going on.
No.
What happened? Didn't God begin to just convict you?
God just started convicting me, started working on my heart.
But you weren't saved at first, and you were living together.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then you got saved.
Yep.
And so now even though your same body looks the same, you were a different person, right?
Yeah. God just went inside my heart and he's just, you know, he just showed me what was right and what wasn't.
Wow. And you could have damaged what God was going to do there
mm-hmm.
if you went in there with this cookie cutter type thing.
Yeah.
Because at that point, you know, your wife-to-be was not saved. Tracy wasn't saved.
Mm-mm.
So what's going on? Explain how that works.
Well, I mean, once I gave my life to the Lord and, you know, I went back into that situation and where I was living, I just instantly was convicted by God that I can't live like this anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, I just, the Holy Spirit was just working on me, working on me, working on me.
No, was anybody bossing you around saying,
no.
You heathen, I can't believe you're
doing that. I mean, I didn't even ask, what should I do? What should I do? What should I do? Somebody tell me something.
And you're asking that because you're totally convicted.
I am. I'm just like ripped to shreds here. So,
him and God alone was handling that, wasn't he?
Oh, my goodness. He worked me over.
Because the Holy Spirit convicts of sin. Human beings, we don't convict of mm-hmm. sin. The one that at the proper timing too, because you may say something where you think a person should be convicted now, and God's going, get out of this equation.
Mm-hmm.
And then he convicts us of sin.
Right.
But so God was convicting you, the Spirit of God.
Yeah. So you know, I had to leave. I mean, that there was just no other choice. I had to find somewhere else to live because I knew what I was doing was wrong. And, of course, she didn't understand it because her eyes were blinded at that point. She didn't know God yet. And I don't know how much of the story you want me to tell as far as...
Well, I mean, it walks out what we're talking about. You got to think outside the box because this is where, you know, the percentages of Americans today that are not living in the ways that God would say in regards to relationships mm-hmm. is all over the map. But you know what? God loves them right where they are. Mm-hmm. I don't care what kind of relationship they're in or not in. We need to preach the gospel to them and let them know how much God loves them, and that wherever they're at that moment, you know, get out of your box, you know, wherever they're at, God will save them right there in the midst of some drug alley, mm-hmm. you know, in the midst of some crack house, you know, he'll save them right there and still with the needle laying on the ground and all this kind of stuff. And then he'll walk them out.
He's able.
Of that. He's able to do that. Mm-hmm. And that's what was going on, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, long story short, I moved out. And then God just started working after that. Because we were engaged at the time, and I just knew I couldn't marry her. There's just no way. You know?
Right.
I want you, after this break, I want you to tell us more about this.
Okay.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Every man needs to hear encouraging words from his wife. This is John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute. Here's Kathy Lipp explaining how important affirming words can be.
I think that affirming your husband can change the way he walks through the world. It can change his posture. It can change how he approaches other people. When he knows that his wife is at work or at home praying for him, has got his back, and believes in him, it changes the way he parents, because he parents with confidence now, knowing that he has somebody on his side. He can walk into work saying, you know what, work was terrible today, but I get to go home to somebody who cares about me, even if somebody here doesn't.
Your spoken praise, appreciation, and prayers play a vital role in helping your husband. For more trusted advice to help your relationship thrive, visit FocusOnTheFamily.com/marriage.
Go to VFN TV. Go to VFNTV.com. This is VFN Radio. You're listening to this. Go to VFNTV.com and go to VFN TV in your menu, and you'll see a prophetic teaching about this generation. It's called This Generation. And it's time for us to wake up and respond. And it's going to encourage you, because it's going to give you a perspective that if not, the things that we won't give up now, God will have taken away from us. Mm-hmm. He'll look, and there's raiders coming in as we speak, trying to raid the coffers, the government, the taxes, the freedoms, the Constitution, all these different things. But understand that God is allowing that. He's not doing it. He's allowing it to take place. It's his permissive will because of the choices that we've made, and he's intentionally allowing it. It's intentional. There's always somebody that wants to raid you, mm-hmm. but he's keeping them back. And then, you know, if we don't respond, it just escalates and gets worse in regards to that. Even being sold as a slave to your enemy. If slavery didn't start in America. Slavery's been around since day one. Even mm-hmm. Jesus said, you know, as Christians, you know, slaves obey your masters as unto the Lord. If you can get your freedom, get your freedom. So in the context of that, it was just an everyday conversation then. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be sold to my enemy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't want to be sold to my enemy. But I can't be in rebellion to God and think that the end's going to be good. You know, and it may happen on an individual basis. You got to listen to this. Listen to it. It's called This Generation. And what it is that you have a pagan generation. But it's not unusual for a generation who has not yet received or didn't receive the gospel being transferred to their generation to be paganistic. But there's hope. There is hope, and God has a way to do that. Go to VFNTV.com and choose VFNTV on the menu and look for This Generation and begin to listen to it now and share it with your friends. It's a prophetic word for this day and this time.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Of course, joining me is Pat and John. We're talking about thinking outside the box and just begin to think. Listen, we can lock God in our boxes. He's not locked in there, but our experience with God and our desire or connecting people with the love of God. Mm-hmm. We could shut that down by saying they just don't fit. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, nobody fits outside the mercy of God. And we're just talking about, you know, if you missed it, you got to catch it. You know, what do you do when a man that gets saved and excitingly saved, life's changed, transformed? You meet with him in a coffee shop, have tea with him for like 90 days, and then he finds out and he's convicted and he tells you something you didn't know about. He's got 10 wives, 26 children. And how many American ministers that you hear of, I mean, they're everything they've ever taught, every book they ever wrote. It's just like, that don't fit.
Right.
Which means you're telling me then that God's not big enough to be able to handle a situation like that. You've been preaching a very small God. And he's not that small. He's not that small. And if you go back and read the patriarchs and you go back and read, I mean, it's not something that cannot be gotten over. It can be worked out. And we talked about that, and you can hear about it. But the situation was, you know, what do you do with that? You just tell people about the love of God and let God begin to minister to them and disciple them, and you'll watch the Holy Spirit begin to turn them this way and turn them that way. Won't let them touch this, won't let them touch that. And you'll find out that when the Holy Spirit convicts somebody, they're empowered to make the right decisions. Mm-hmm. And you just support and stand with, that's God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so here Pat was, you know, he had found God. I mean, he was just, you know, on fire for the Lord. And you were living with Tracy, and you weren't married at that point. And the Holy Spirit was, you were just deeply convicted, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. God was working me over. Yeah. And, you know, to the point I finally had to move out.
And that was all led by God. Nobody's condemning
you. Nobody told me.
Nobody's telling you.
No.
You know, all this stuff, but you're just,
you know, anybody I talked to in regards to that, they just pointed me to the scripture.
Right.
They didn't give me their opinions, what I should do. They, you know, they took me to the Word of God.
Right.
You know, and then they, you know, let the Word of God speak to me.
Right.
In that regard. So, and with that, I mean, it was a no brainer. Once you saw what God's word says about it, it's like, well, if he said it, then that's what I got to do.
Yeah.
As hard as it was going to be, you know, and inconvenient as it was going to be, and sure. You know, my whole life just turned upside down,
right.
You know, I had to do it no matter what the cost was. So.
Sure. Cause you had an integrated life together.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, if I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to serve God, I'm going to do it all the way. I'm not going to do it halfway.
Mm-hmm. And imagine at that point, y'all didn't have children together.
No, we didn't.
At that point. But that's just a whole nother, you know, think about
consider.
It.
Just
get, we got to get this perception, this cookie cutter gospel out of our minds and say, you know what, God, you're big enough to step into this situation. You're big enough. Forgive me for just trying to just make it the way I want it to be. Instead of accepting it the way it is and trusting you to walk somebody out of it. And Pat's telling you, right, and he's telling us how God just walked him out of a situation. It's going to be really cool how you hear how it ends up. But listen, this is God, what God begins to do.
So, all right, I'm out, you know, I'm living with a friend of mine, and just seeking God and hearing out what he had to say. And now at this time in my life, I was previously married, and we had a son together.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm even considering, you know, should I go back to my first wife? You know, I'm just like, I'm pondering all these things in my heart. Like, what do I do? You know, because, you know.
Whatever he wanted. You're
whatever
right.
he wanted to do, yeah. You know. Obviously, the situation I was in was not God.
Right.
Well, maybe I should reconcile this situation over here.
And it's like the Holy Spirit's doing all this.
He was just guiding me the whole way, yeah. I mean, nobody was.
And this Holy Spirit drives you to his word. Is like, I got to find out what God says about this because right. God's all over me, right?
And I was. Hunting the scriptures.
Matthew,
I mean,
James, Leviticus.
Yeah. I was all
Don't
over the place.
Leviticus.
Revelation.
Leviticus.
Yeah. I know it's in here. I know it's in here.
Yeah.
I cut it off. No, go ahead.
But hey, that's how it happened. I mean, I searched the scriptures and what it said, and you know what was my responsibility at this point.
Right.
That was the most reading you ever done in your life.
Oh my God! Tell me, what meanest thou this?
Highlighters, journals. I mean, hey.
Oh yeah. So I even sat down with her, and this is my ex-wife I'm talking about, and just listening to God. You know, I didn't really paint any pictures or anything, you know, what I wanted or anything. I just wanted to, you know, what do you want me to do?
You were doing all this while you're listening to God inside of you.
Yeah.
And so as you're just being in the presence of a past relationship,
right.
And you're just talking, and what happens when I talk? What does God say in this situation?
Yeah, he basically said no. He gave me no peace about it.
Mm-hmm.
I was more twisted inside, you know, the more I pondered it. I was like, well, I don't have peace.
I remember one of the words that he said, too. He says, remain as you were.
That's exactly what he said.
Remain as you were when you, the moment you were saved.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So often try to go back and it's like, as if you could.
Yeah.
You know, at whatever state you were at that point, you know, move from there on.
All right.
That's all you can do, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you can do, you know, right things, do it, but it's not some, mm-hmm. you know, they just can't, you can't fix
right.
that.
Exactly. And that's exactly this, you know, one of the scriptures he gave me about it. So I had a piece about not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point, I just waited on God. What did he want? And it wasn't long after that, you know, I was, you know, Tracy and I still kept in communications. You know, I'm sharing the gospel with her as much as I knew, you know. I'm,
right.
you know, trying to.
Well, actually, she went to try to find out what church you're going to, so she could take out whoever the minister was that might have told you anything that led you not yeah. to, because y'all were about to get married.
We were engaged. Yeah, we were supposed to get married in May of that year, and
invitations go out. Yet?
This was no, they no, were, they didn't make it.
They were on the fridge. Refrigerator.
Yeah. yeah.
They were on
that's how the whole thing blew up. Yeah. Snatched him off the refrigerator on the way to work one day.
Because he was in a confronta. He just took it.
Yeah.
He just took it.
I took
the
easy way out.
I'll take these.
Right, so.
She put on her camis and she came after you.
Yeah, she was upset.
She was upset.
Did you see?
But think about it. This is all God. You think that's about, well, good. Instead of trying to just try to not realize that God loves Pat and God loves Tracy, and God is doing something here. God is working mm-hmm. something out, and you got to let God do it.
Mm-hmm.
God's big enough to handle that situation.
No doubt.
And mm-hmm. so even in the point where, you know, she's going to come down mm-hmm. and try to, you know, straighten some things out, mm-hmm. you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because I talked to a minister here locally, and, you know, he gave me some advice. And I was, I guess, talking to her about this man.
you know, Pat, he blamed it all on this man.
Oh,
you know,
my right, goodness. Right.
Well, I was trying to share the scriptures that he gave me.
Right.
And then
of course, I couldn't find them.
So all of a sudden,
them.
It was this minister's fault. The scriptures were in there,
oh,
right?
Well,
yeah,
great.
Right.
Anyway, she hunted him up.
Oh, well, obviously, he did such a good job.
And wanted to meet with this man. It's like, who are you? And, you know, what are you doing? Bust him
off. I had myself a man. He was about to go
yeah,
on.
So, but, you know, he let her tell a story that regard that, you know, she couldn't be mad at him because he was so loving to her. He just, you know, shared the gospel with her and says, oh, it's all right. You know, even gave her a Bible to take home with her. And
because she had zero knowledge.
She had zero.
Of,
I mean, we're yeah. both.
God. And, yeah. and yeah. isn't that beautiful, though?
Awesome.
Get God
it's
out
encouraging.
Of your box. Get God out of your box, because everybody that you see everywhere, God loves and wants you to share the gospel with them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, not long after that, it was probably, I don't know, maybe a couple months, Tracy ended up giving her life to the Lord.
Wow.
That's so funny then what happened. So she gets saved. So look at that. God saved Pat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nobody laid their hands on that.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Spirit convicted, and drove him to the Word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Word, God spoke to him through the Word and knew what to do. He explored all these things, listening to the Holy Spirit inside of him. He did the tough things when God required of him the tough things, but he had to do it because God was compelling him. Then you're thinking, well, everything's going to blow apart because my to-be spouse, man or woman, whatever, was going to now go attack somebody. Well, that was actually God's process to bring her to salvation.
Mm-hmm.
She was about to meet God.
Yeah, God started dealing with her.
Yeah, about to meet God. And then of course, she gets saved, and then what happens? So now, this woman that you were going to marry,
right.
that you love, now loves yeah. God. And what? Oh, this is just perfect.
Oh, it's perfect now, right?
Right. What happened then?
Okay, well, here, and I walk out, you know, because obviously, you know, things weren't right. So I'm thinking, well, great. She gets saved. Things are right now.
Right.
You know, we're equally yoked now. So
right.
maybe she'll want to get married again. So
maybe she'll want to get married again. He's like, I'm going to marry her.
Yeah,
I'll
right.
figure it out, right?
Just natch her
Thank
up.
You, God.
Thank you.
Right.
Yeah, you fixed
for
it
working
for me.
With me. Thank you. For
me.
You're a
me.
God that yeah. entereth prayer.
He's about to find out it wasn't all about him at this point.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, I had it all figured out. You know, so I took the ring back with me because, you know, she'd given it back to me. And so I
right.
was going to give it
See
back to
See that dent
her.
On the left side of the forehead? No. I'm
Is that where that came from?
No, yeah. no I'm messing with you.
You know, I sat her down one night and we talked and, you know, I said, hey, how about we go ahead and start planning on getting married again? And she looked at me, says, no, I'm not marrying you.
Okay.
God, what happened here? What made us stop this?
I'm going, I'm
now
good.
He's discerning, was this conviction of the Lord? Right. Or was this me, you know?
She was not marrying me, period. It was just, she says to me, she says,
well, you weren't going to marry her, period.
Well, no,
she found God.
I know, but, you know, we were two different people at that point, you know. Right.
So now you get saved, you're all that.
Apparently not. Well, God took
the
reins of her heart. You know, she made him the Lord of her life, not me anymore.
That's awesome.
That was beautiful.
Yeah.
So she put him in the right priorities, you know, and which is good. I mean,
and like, you too. I mean, she.
Well, yeah. And so God just, you know, at that point, we just went our separate ways in regards to pursuing our relationship. We just started pursuing our relationship with God.
Wow.
So we both just sought God on our own.
You wore that Bible out. I remember you put tabs in.
Oh, yeah. Sure did. And so for the next.
And she read it. Was it like an insurance company or something?
Yeah, she's sort of Fisher.
Yeah, just constantly reading the word every day in her car. Oh, yeah. Just diving into the word of God.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So we're both seeking God on our own. And this probably went on for, I think, 4 months or so.
You were drawing pictures of her in the sand. No, you don't mess with
me. No, we're just going after God. And believe it or not, it was Father's Day of 96.
Oh, wow.
That we just happened to. And we, like I said, we've been going to church on our own, just giving each other some space, you know.
Right. Let go and let God. This is another thing that y'all allowed God individually with each other, too.
Yep.
How often do we just try to jump in and do something and we mess up what God was going to do in his timing and his way? So, I mean, this is important because it all fits. Think outside of our box, because God's, if we're going to win this generation to God, we got to realize God loves this generation right where they're at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because she told me specifically, she goes, unless God tells me himself to marry you, I'm not going to do it.
You get on the PA system.
Unless he tells me to
marry
do it.
Mary Pat. You
know. So, like I said, Father's Day 96, we, for some reason, you know, we just went to church together that morning. You know, we just
met up,
came to church that morning together. We sat together for the first time in I don't know how long. And service starts, and she happens to go downstairs, because we're up in the balcony this time, to go to the bathroom. She leaves and comes back sometime later, doesn't really say anything to me. And then after the service, as we're walking out, she says, I got to tell you something. I'm like, what? What's going on? And she says, well, when I went to the bathroom earlier in the service, I ran into somebody. And this was a guy that she went to school with years ago. Apparently, he'd gotten saved and whatnot. And he had seen her during one service at one point. And for some reason, God put Tracy on his heart that morning when he was praying. And it was just so weird because we were in a big congregation, tons of people. And she says when she was down there, he was the only one in the hallway.
Oh, it was in the hallway. Good.
It was in a hallway.
Okay.
And he talks to her and says, Tracy, I got to talk to you. I was praying this morning. The Lord put you on my heart. And he told me something that I wanted to share with you because it doesn't really mean anything to me because he didn't know me from Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells her, he goes, and the Lord told me this. He says, stop tearing around and marry the one that I have before you.
Wow.
Wow.
He didn't know nothing. Of course, she's like, you know, floored at that point. And then she doesn't tell me anything until like 2-3 hours later, you know.
That's like stuff you do. You don't see
it. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly what
that
I do.
That was a good going, Trace. Good going.
Yeah.
So she got the word that she asked for.
Wow.
And, I mean, the rest is history.
Yeah. 45 years ago today.
45.
Yeah, right.
Well, think about this. Just like I was saying is, you know, you could go in there and you could have started touching something that God loved and you could have hurt it. Understand that God's grace is sufficient. It's the people that know what's right, know they've made a conscious effort to sin. It's a different than a person who does not even know yet where they are in their life until God reveals to them what I'm in is sin. And if God reveals it to them, then they know. They know that that's sin. And he says, listen, you know, things that you think differently than other people, realize God will actually explain that. But you're responsible for what you know. Mm-hmm. God holds you accountable for what's been revealed to you. And if you know what's wrong, and what happens is over a period of time, you're going to find it. You'd be really surprised how many Christians right now who are not honest on their taxes.
Mm.
But by the way, now you're knowing you shouldn't be cheating people, cheating the government on your taxes. You should, or how many Christian businessmen haven't yet been convicted, or businesswomen, that they're getting paid under the table and not paying the sales tax.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, you know, why isn't God blessing my business? Yeah. Hey. We just kind of went there in a hurry to help you know. Hey, that's kind of how it goes.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And think about it. If you can believe, and we're fixing to go to a break, but if you can believe that God can save this man, you had no problem knowing that he was saved for 90 days. But once he came back and started talking about wanting to be able to tell people about God, but he was convicted that he had 10 wives, it kind of took you out of your box, and you begin to realize, God is the one who does this. I need to preach the gospel to everyone and respond accordingly and watch what the Holy Spirit does in people's life and love people on their journey.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, to just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. This is, what's this drummer thing?
Oh my goodness. Listen.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness. This elderly grandmother walks into
bet she takes offense to that.
Well, hey, she's a grandma, she's a grandma. I don't know. She's,
are you talking about my wife?
No. Or mine.
She's a grandmother.
Mine is two.
Oh, elderly Teresa.
I didn't say that.
I didn't say that.
Pat said it.
Depends.
Grandma walks into a drum store. Nobody knows
a what store?
A drum store?
A drum store.
Oh, drum. Like the, drum.
You know. You're back in the South now.
It's like a drum.
Plainly, we can understand.
It's, it's like a drum tournament. It's a tournament.
Okay.
Tournament.
You hear this, Chris?
I hear it. Southern succotash.
Oh, Southern succotash. Okay. Drum. Remind me to tell you about Southern hospitality. Bluebell ice cream, by the way.
If you,
if you interrupt us,
we're going to forget what you're talking about. You were talking about your elderly grandmother?
No, I wasn't. No. Okay. I was talking about an elderly grandmother.
Oh, an elderly grandmother.
Now, if you keep interrupting, I'm not gonna, I'll forget what I'm saying.
What are we talking about?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Elderly grandmother walks into a drum
Can't
shop.
Can't you just be a grandmother other than elderly?
Oh, my. We're not going to get to it, are we?
Why do you got to say elderly?
I am reading the article. It says elderly. Okay, elderly woman. Elderly woman. How's that?
Well, you know he is a grandfather.
Well, how about not?
Now, so
you how about he
is a grandfather.
He's taking.
How about not a just a grandmother? I mean, what's this elder? You got rid of the grandmother part and kept the elderly part.
She looks elderly. She looks elderly.
The baby boomers are bigger than any group around, and we'll take you down.
Oh yeah, we see.
Oh, big. It depends.
Oh, we'll ask Pat about the depends. But
okay. How's things going? Things going?
All right, Grandpa. Let's go.
Oh! Elderly Grandpa to you.
I understand. Hey, I know.
That's a little old, right?
So you were talking about your grandmother.
Yes. She walks in.
She did?
Picks up drumsticks.
Look at the script.
And starts.
Picked up something, you look down at it. Like, what did she pick up? She picked up a script. She picked up her drumsticks. Okay, go ahead.
I just lost my thought. I don't know where we are. No.
We are, where are we, Pat?
I think we're in the studio.
But I'm not sure anymore.
Somebody go out and look outside and see where we're at. All right.
Well, you got to see this video. We're going to make it available for you on the torch.
There's a video?
There is a video. Oh, she is.
Why didn't you say so? Are you talking about an elderly grandmother or something?
We're going to have this available for you on the torch. And you got to listen to this. This is her walking in, playing. This is in Wisconsin.
Oh, my goodness.
Turn it up now. Check it out. Get it started. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. One hand. One hand swirl. Uh-oh. One hand. Oh, other hand. There you go. Hey. Is this not amazing?
Oh, wow. Just got that Eddie Van Halen thing going
on. Oh, man.
Adam has met his match.
That's it. All you drummers who think you can drum, you got to watch this.
Look at her walker right there beside the drum.
Oh. Well, I just want to give you inspiration for the day. I mean, is that not amazing?
She's good.
Totally.
She is
totally
very amazing. Good. Very
Can you imagine?
Good.
We're going to Grandma's house. We're going to jam today.
Yeah, hey, listen, you call her maybe Nana, Mima. I met someone yesterday. They told me that their grandmother's name was Yaya. That's it. How you say in Greece or Greek? Yaya.
Uh-huh.
Is it?
Yeah. Is it?
That's what they told me.
Okay. Depends.
Oh, depends. Can you tell us?
Depends.
Oh, is there a cricket button somewhere over there?
Well, you know, I don't know what's happened to grandmother. You know, what happened to, you know, grandmother?
This is...
Ya-ya, nee-nee, na-na, ma-ma.
I don't know what happened.
We started reverting back to childhood.
I don't know. There's so many different names now.
Yeah, it really is. But her, I guess her name would be...
We don't have a name for her. Nobody knows.
She needs a name.
She needs
a name. Depends. The Depends drummer.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
She was tearing it up.
Yeah, she was.
Adam has met his match.
Adam, I have
you know, you need to submit a video of you, see if you can save yourself in this. But she was tearing it up.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
First, joining me is Pat and John. If you missed it, we started talking about thinking outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so freeing when you find out, who does God love? He loves everyone. And he's God enough to save us right where we are. He's merciful enough to love us on our journey. And he is kind enough to forgive us when we fall.
No doubt.
And, you know, judging somebody by what they're tempted by or what they're attacked with is like, you know, calling somebody a soldier, a landmine, if he steps on a landmine, or an IED, if he steps on an IED, or she steps on a, I saw kind of, this, you know, if he gets shot with a gun, he's a gun.
Mm-hmm.
She's a gun. The thing is that, you know, the enemy attacks whoever with whatever, and God's big enough to be able to be there for them, and there's grace for that journey. And we're still on this journey. We're all on this journey. And he gives us the grace to be saved. And as we begin to walk this out, you know, it's just amazing. You just fall more and more in love with God when you just go deeper and deeper and realize just how merciful and how kind and how graceful. I mean, he just lavishes grace upon us because he's good. He calls us sons. He's brought us into the family of God. I don't know if you heard about Colonel Bud Day. Colonel Bud Day, you know, he's just passed, and as an amazing man, and he was in three wars. He was in the Korean War, he was in the Vietnam War, and I don't know if the third war, I guess it could have been World War II, you know.
Could have been.
And And it was just a hero. He's one of our heroes. And he is talking about here, he's talking to a room full of, I believe, Air Force officers. And he's sitting up front in this room. We're going to have a video of this available for you on the VFN Torch. But I want you to hear him because he's talking about when he was taken captive in Vietnam, when he was taken as a prisoner of war. And listen to what he says. I mean, first of all, realize this man went and fought for our freedom. Three wars now, not just did one tour of duty, three wars that he fought. I mean, he was a hero.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, you know, taken prisoner and how he was treated. I mean, he just talks about it so lightly, you're thinking, my goodness. Mm. But listen, he says, he's going to talk about that the people that were guarding him were like boys,
mm-hmm.
14, 12-year-old boys. And that's what you find out. That's what you find out is like you can begin to love your enemy when you realize it's the people that are taking those people captive and forcing the people to do something that a 12-year-old boy wouldn't even do.
Right.
But you got to hear, this is actually Colonel Bud Day, a hero, a true American hero, talking about what it was like in Vietnam when he got taken as a prisoner of war. Listen up.
They put me into a tunnel, and the reason for this was everything was underground because there was bombing and guns firing not into the area where I was, but a little south of that. So they had a digging complex, and all of Vietnam had tunnels, and you know, they loved that underground. They were moles. So anyway, the kids that were supposed to be watching me really, after a couple days that I was the novelty that I was, just stopped doing what they were supposed to be doing, which was paying attention to me. And there were just kind of a lot of grabbing up on the road, you know, and they were forever walking away and talking to each other, even leaning their rifles up against the edge of the place where this tunnel that I was in. I had to picture that when escaping was not going to be a problem. It was going to be, how could I set it up? And
drinking coffee.
So I decided that because it was obvious, my eye was all bloodshot.
We're looking at a room full of Air Force officers right here. But you can see this on the VFN Torch. You're listening to Colonel Bud Day talk about being taken captive, and they're just, listen up.
Blind. And my knee was pretty big, and of course my arm was busted, and so they concluded I was no threat. And when they tried to get me to move around or do anything, I faked that I couldn't move at all. I just was unable to do anything. Wasn't able to move, couldn't do anything on my own. And they began to buy that. Even brought me a canteen of water, which was great to go for the escape.
By the way, this is so important because we got to learn this kind of wisdom because you never know a day that you may. He said, I faked like I couldn't move and they bought it. Mm-hmm. And he's planning his escape. Listen up.
So I finally got it set up that they would rope me up. The way they secured you was they take this garden rope, you know, this white rope, about two-thirds the size of your little finger, and they had a piece that was about 30 feet long. They'd come and roll around my leg a whole bunch of times and tie about 40 granny knots in it. Well, I found out right away, you know, that even though my arm was busted, if I just steadied it here like this, I could take the rope, I could untie this thing. So I practiced untying it several times and got it down to the point where I could do it about 7-8 minutes. And so then it was just a question of looking for the time when these guys was right. Obviously the time would be just about dark when they're not paying any attention. And I had gotten a good fix from the times they'd had me out of the hole. They tortured me a bunch of times. They hung me one day by the feet all day, and so there was a lot of this kind of stuff. But you know, you get through all of that. If they don't kill you, well, you know, that doesn't put you out of commission. And so anyway, what I made up my mind was when the time was right, I was going to do a quick untie just as the dark was falling and out of there, and I knew what direction I wanted to go. And so the first night I was going to go, just as I'm ready to pull out, rain, I mean, it just, frog strangler. I couldn't see from here to the clock, you know. So bang, there went the first night's escape night. Next night, pretty clear. So did a quick untie, and these guys who were supposed to be standing, you know, close to me to you or Doris, they're up on the road shooting a bull. Both of them got AK-47, you know, acting like they're doing something. 14-year-old kids, 12-year-old kids, I don't know how old they were, just little kids. So I said a quick prayer to God. Had four kids at home and a wife, and I was hoping to get home, so I asked God to get me through this, and said, got her all untied and waited till both of them were facing the opposite direction to slip out of this hole and around behind it, and a little ridge into a rice paddy. And that was a surprise, because as soon as my foot hit the bottom of that silt, it was just like stepping on a banana peel. My feet went out from under me, and I landed right on my busted arm. And I almost bit my tongue off to keep from screaming when I hit the deck. So I waited, knowing I'd made a bunch of noise. I couldn't believe they didn't hear it. Waited about a minute, minute and a half, and nothing. So with that, I got up and headed south. And so I was out for somewhere over 2 weeks. I don't know exactly what, because I started losing track of time. But one of the things was that I never had any trouble finding water. There was plenty of water to drink. The main problem was there was absolutely zip for food. And just one other quick aside, you know, they teach in survival school about getting to the high ground. Okay, well, once you're down in the jungle, there ain't no getting to the high ground, because trying to get to the high ground is like walking over and trying to walk through this wall. This stuff is as dense as, you know, it's just a vegetated wall. You got rattan running around, little bunch of low brush, some more brush about 8-9 feet high, some trees about 20 feet high, some more trees about 50 feet high, and then these really big trees like 100 feet high. And so you don't see any sky. You got to go just almost totally on instinct, and there's no going to the high ground. You either go on the established paths, or get into a creek or river that's going someplace, and that's the way that you're going to get through that. So it took me a while to get that sorted out. And in the meantime, I got hit by a round of something, got me in the leg, blew up my ears, and had me bleeding. And that took the steam out of me for about a day and a half or so, and finally got on the road again and got moving south.
You're listening to Colonel Bud Day, hero. August 1st, passed away. Senator McCain led his funeral with 1,000 mourners. Lord, we thank you for this hero that served us, Colonel Bud Day. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.